Let's do the letter number 1662 in the Holy Letters of the Rebbe. And this is in volume 6. And this is dated Chof Hei Sivan Tovshin Yud Beis, 25th of Tovshin Beis, Brooklyn. Shalom Abrochas is 1952. And it looks like this is the first correspondence the Rebbe is having with this individual. He was an engineer, and the Rebbe is discussing some lessons from being an engineer and what he should keep in mind and how difference between science and Torah, Lahavdil and the Torah. So it said like this. First, the Rebbe starts off with Shalom Ubracha, peace and blessing. The Rebbe said, it was with pleasantness that I received your letter, dated the 13th of Sivan, in which you write the headlines of your life and your situation presently, that you are in the cities of Milan. Not sure exactly in Ore Milan, that it says here in a plural, but whatever, that's what it is. And also that he came in contact, and the Rebbe says, with two great Hasidim, with great titles, Mordechai Sheikh Yaakov Perlov, and also with the other Chassid, Yaakov Sheikh Gansburg. I know that this Gansburg, there is a Gansburg that lives in Milan, so I'm assuming that this is Milan, Italy, because I know the Gansburgs were in Milan. So,
that's the only Milan I know, is Italy, and I've heard of.
Yeah. All right, so the Rebbe says, since in your letter you only talk about your parents, may they live, so it appears that you're still single. So the Rebbe says, it would be fitting that since you make enough for a living for yourself and for to support a family, so that you should with energy go ahead and search for a proper shidduch, for a proper match for yourself. And the Rebbe quotes from the saying of our sages that it says that they say that when one searches for a wife, you got to search it like searching for a lost object. So the Rebbe says, so what does it mean searching for a lost object? Because actually, you know, as we read in the Chumash, Adam's wife, Chava, was taken from him. So in other words, it's part of him, it was lost, and you got to bring it back. So your match, your wife is basically something that you're searching for, the part of you that you want to bring back. So how do you go ahead and look for something that you lost? You don't sit with your hands folded up, and you sit and you wait, waiting for somebody to bring that lost object to the person who lost it. It's not the way it works. The way it works is you go ahead and you put an effort to go ahead and search for the lost object. So the Rebbe basically says, don't wait for somebody to come to you and get you a shidduch and tell you, but you go ahead, look for it, put an effort in it, put an energy, and go ahead and try to find for yourself a match, your wife. The Rebbe further says, I was delighted, enjoyed reading in your letter that you learn Chabad teachings together with the group of the Hasidim while you were in the Holy Land, in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh, the Bonus HaKoinen, and also the fact that right now you still have a set time to learn. And the Rebbe said, I would be interested to know how is the order of your learning during Shabbos and also during the weekday. And the Rebbe points out that learning Hasidus, apparently the other person wrote that he learned some Hasidus, some Chabad teachings on Shabbos. But the Rebbe says that also in the daytime, in the weekdays, not only in Shabbos, it is absolutely necessary to study this. In one respect, the Rebbe says, it's even more important than on Shabbos itself, because during the weekday, you are more involved with your body and your animal soul, with the physical matters. So therefore, the godly soul, which is dressed up within your body and your nefesh v'hamis, is also involved in the weekday matters, in matters which are from klipas noiga, which is an intermediary between the side of holiness to the soul of klipas noiga lagamri, which means that, you know, you are sort of more involved in physical matters through the body and nefesh abhamis, which is klipas noiga, and therefore you should utilize, you need extra, I guess, strength, so utilize and study some Torah. So now the Rebbe is going to start, he gives an introduction to what is he going to tell you. Why am I telling you the following? The Rebbe says, the Rebbe is going to tell him something about engineering and about what his lesson should be in life to this person who is an engineer. So the Rebbe says, why am I saying this? Because he starts off by saying, we know the euphemism of the Baal Shem Tov, which we heard from my Rebbe, my father-in-law, the Rebbe, that everything that a Jew sees or hears, for sure there has to be an instruction for them in their service to Hashem. So whatever you know, this needs to be something that you do, you utilize in your service of Hashem. Whether it's in matters that pertain between you and God, learn a lesson for that, or it's between matters between man and his fellow. So who says that everything that I see or hear should be that? That's the euphemism of, that's the saying of the Baal Shem Tov, that the previous Rebbe quoted him. But who says that one should do that? So the Rebbe brings that this is also, he brings it out not just because it said, he brings around that this is also logical, we have to say that. Because even those matters that are really between person, interpersonal relationships, are also connected, they're also matters that are between a man and Hashem. We know in the Hasidic teaching, the Rebbe brings out a very interesting point over here that Rebbe stressed many times, that we know in the Hasidic teaching it says, you know, in the Torah we have basically three categories of mitzvot. One are logical. Say, for example, you shall not murder, or honor your parents. These are logical mitzvahs. Then you have mitzvahs that are commemorative mitzvahs, like Pesach. We commemorate the Exodus of Egypt, or things like that. Shabbos commemorates creation of the world. But then you have mitzvahs which are statues. We're going to learn in a couple of weeks, we're going to learn Parshas Chukas. This is Chukas, means they're statues. So, in Hasidic explains, so why do we, when we do a mitzvah like honoring your parents, okay, or not murdering, why do we do that mitzvah? Do we do it because it's logical, or we do it, no, because it's the command of Hashem? So the Rebbe explains here that even the observance of the logical mitzvahs, the mishpatim, you have to do it in a way just like you do the statues which have no reason. You don't do mitzvahs because they're intellectually sound, or they are a result of you agreeing. In our days, the Rebbe says, we see, and this is written in 1952. This was written shortly after the end of World War II. So the Rebbe says, you see in our days specifically, you see vividly, that nation, he's talking about the Germans, Yimach Shemom, that nation who bragged about their intellect and how they have a life which is organized on science, so to speak, etc., scientific, they live. So they did, specifically they, did such terrible actions. Maisim roim nareim b'yosef. And they based it, their evil acts, on the intellect and on science. So you see that also human interactions, the Rebbe brings out over here, also need to be in the perspective of that this is a mitzvah to Hashem. You can't treat another person, another individual, just based on logic, that logic tells you have to treat another person right. But you have to treat another person right because that's what Hashem says. Because if it's only going to be based upon, it makes sense to me to treat the other person right, or in interpersonal relationships, that I'm only doing it because it makes sense, then you can get off to a very, you can fall off a deep cliff, just like in this example the Rebbe brings from the Germans, Yimach Shemam, that they interpersonal relationship, they based everything on logic, and yet they were able to, based on that, they were able to do such horrendous, such horrific actions. So the Rebbe says, but therefore the Baal Shem Tov saying that you need to learn from everything that you see, it also makes sense logically, because since Hashem is the master, the owner of the entire world, so for sure there is nothing in this world, even one thing or one happening, that is in vain. Everything that happens to, everything that is in your life, has to have a reason. There is a reason for everything. Rebbe explains, because everything comes from Hashem. Since it comes from Hashem, there is a basis for everything. And therefore, since a certain individual, and every individual, so the why was a person created in the first place? His work, his job, the reason he was created was only to serve Hashem. That's the purpose. So if you hear or see something, or you see or hear something, so that's not in vain. That means that it's something for your service, and you have to utilize that to come closer to the goal, which means to serve Hashem. Everything is to serve Hashem. So what are you going to learn from what you see to serve Hashem, which is the service of Hashem, blessed be He? Either you learn in the positive, kumvasei, what to do, or you learn in the negative, what to prevent, what to push away, loisase, what you shouldn't do. So now, this is all the... So the Rebbe says, basically, everybody has to utilize from the life what they see. So, I see the Rebbe says in your letter that you're an engineer, but I'm not sure exactly what kind of a field you are working in. Is it engineer of homes, you know, to building? Is it matter of surveying, engineering, surveying, the measuring areas are similar? But in any event, the Rebbe said the basis of all the above is the science of engineering, which is geometry. Geometry is the basis for that. So what is it? What is one of the matters that we can learn from generally from this science, the science of geometry, for this mathematics? So the Rebbe says that the engineering has, from the two characteristics, it has, in one hand, a very mathematical, precise, measurements that are based on mathematics, but it also has an area which is useful. In other words, that you're taking the mathematics, I guess, and you're bringing it into some sort of reality. And the Rebbe says, you know, it's not the not so precise, I guess, the sign that you use. I'm not sure exactly what he's getting here. So the Rebbe but says, if you take this infinitely, you know, we have to separate, because when we talk about science and talk about Torah, but the Rebbe says this is also the concept of Torah, that it has like the highest ideals or the highest meaning, and you bring it in into daily life. This is the idea of our Holy Torah. So notwithstanding that it is the wisdom of Hashem, because it's wisdom of Hashem, this is the total truth and preciseness. There's nothing more truth and precise than Torah. And no human being can really evaluate, and it's hidden from the eyes of all living things, quoting some verses here, we cannot really grasp it fully. But yet, So while it is a very lofty and very high level of understanding, of science, of Torah, but yet, what is the purpose, goal of the Torah? It's what we call it. What is the meaning of the word Torah? Torah means instruction. This is an instruction in our daily life, in this physical and material world. And therefore, so in the distinction in between these two aspects, in other words, the scientific, the mathematical, and the practical, we should find the main distinction and the infinite difference between our holy Torah, which we call the Torah, it's called your wisdom and understanding in front of the eyes of the nation, the Torah, and in between the wisdom and understanding of the nation, so and not only the nations, it's also the Jewish animal soul understands that. So the Rebbe wants to highlight the difference between the Torah and science. So the Rebbe says like this: the human intellect, or the human intellect, even those of the scientists, or even of the science which are called precise sciences, they are all based on basis that has nothing really to do with science at all. Why? So the Rebbe says the science, especially the precise sciences, does not accept as evidence only things that have proof, things you have to prove. You cannot accept a science to verify. It has to be a proven, you have to prove it. And the basis of all the sciences, and also the mathematics and engineering in generally, really their basis has no proof at all. And therefore, a person has a right to either accept them or to contradict them. Especially, the Rebbe says, this is stands out in the science of engineering, that, as known, there are three views which each one is based on a number of axioma. It's an axiom, so I looked it up in Google. It says, is an unprovable rule or first principle accepted as true because it is self-evident or particularly useful. Nothing can, for example, nothing can both be and not be at the same time, and in the same respect is an example of an axiom. But axiom is an unprovable rule. So many, the Rebbe says it, many are based on that. So many are based on axiom, and the axioms of one view and one philosophy oppose those that are in another philosophy. In other words, the Rebbe says, science is not able to tell you with absolute certainty, but it can only tell you conditional. Basically saying, if you accept it to be true, a number of principles, then, and also the way we are going to the give and take with them, then you will get several results. And these are the results. It tells you, if you accept this and this, you accept this basis, and then you accept these ways to deduce from it, then you'll get it. So therefore, what does it mean? There's 2 points here. First of all, this is something which the person is given to the person's will. You can either, you want to accept the basis, or you don't want to accept it. And number two, even if you do accept it, so you can't force him to do any act that fits to the results, because the measure doesn't tell him, oh, what the science tells you, if you do certain things in a certain way, then the result will be like that. But it does, and if a person says, I don't care, you know, that the results will be, I'll do this and this, and whatever the results, I don't care. So the science doesn't force the person not to do something differently. It just tells you. It gives you basically the information. And it tells you it's up to you. You know, you want to follow? Okay. You don't want to follow? You don't have to follow. But in other words, what it means, that science doesn't give you an instruction in life. It just relates certain matters. It's almost like telling you the future. It's like a fortune teller. It tells you that based on the tests that they took place till now, and based on the principles that you willingly, from your own goodwill, you accept now to be true, so then we know if you accept that, then what's going to happen is going to be in such an order. That's the way science works. But it's totally different in this, our holy Torah. Because Torah, which is the true wisdom of the true existence, which is Hashem, so therefore it is absolute. It's the truth of truth. Whether it's the principles of the rules of the Torah, in other words, or the way that we debate, we discuss the principles. And since this is the wisdom and the will of the creator of all the world, and also the person himself, so it's understood that the conclusions obligate the person to do and to conduct specifically in fitting to that conclusion and not in another way. So the Torah, since it's the truth, it tells you what you have to do. So the Rebbe says this is one of the points as an engineer that needs to be always in your mind. That you can't ask a question, any question at all from science on the Torah, lahavdil. Because the Torah is absolute truth. And the science says about itself, tests about itself, that it's not absolute. But it hinges on the person's acceptance of it. And a person has a right to set up an opposing view, if he wishes to. And they may all be existing together, the person in his mind. And the Rebbe brings three examples, the three philosophies of mathematics. So the Rebbe quotes here Euclid. I don't know how to explain that. You ever heard of it? And
what's the name again?
You have here. No, there was a guy named Lobachevsky.
No.
Never heard that? A mathematician.
No.
Then you had also Riemannian theory.
No, this must be all engineers.
Okay, engineer. And then this is pronounced Euclid. Is pronounced Euclid. I can send you there. So these are all mathematicians. And then there's Riemann and Alya. I'm not sure. Riemann and Alya looks like it's one and the Seder. The last one is Riemann. I saw something in Riemann. I'm not sure if it's that. But in any event, the Rebbe shows you that, these are philosophies that conflict with each other. And yet you can go ahead and accept them all. It doesn't mean, you know, different theories, and you can accept it all.
Different theories, but it doesn't mean that all science is accepted.
Hands off over here saying, I hope that this that I've written above is understood. And certainly, if you got some comments, I'm going to be happy if you will let me know specifically. And it's known, the Rebbe says, the saying of our sages of blessed memory, that when they were very happy, the rabbis, when somebody asked, questioned what they said, because that was a sign that they were interested in what they had to say. So the Rebbe says, if you respond, I'll be happy that you are interested in what I had to say. The main thing that this should serve to sort out and to clarify these matters and the subjects that were suggested during this discussion. The Rebbe concludes that for sure you'll strengthen yourself in the three shiurim. Those are the learning study sessions, which are each cool for everyone, that was instituted by my father-in-law, the Rebbe, which is the portion of Tehillim as it was divided to the days of the month after morning prayer every day, a portion of Parsha, of Chumash, of the Seder of the week with Rashi every day, and also the Shir Tanya as it was divided for the days of the year. I'm also interested to know your time set that you have for the revealed part of Torah, the Hasidic parts of Torah, and also your good activities to influence your surrounding in general and on your family members and your relatives especially, to bring their heart close to our Father in Heaven, and through this to bring eternal goodness for you, Oishem, Nitzchi, both physically and spiritually, and I'm blessing you to settle in a proper way for you, both physically and spiritually together. Now, you see, the Rebbe wrote the letter. This guy must have been some scientist and some connection to Chabad, and the Rebbe writes him a letter like that. So, as a scientist, he says, oh, this rabbi knows something besides just Torah. And then he gets involved. And, you know, that's where you had the Bronnevers and all the scientists and the physicists and the various different people, because the fact that the Rebbe can talk their language too, and the Rebbe is a Rebbe who teaches Torah and who demands doing with other people, and this is his, somehow you can relate to that in a better way. And this was actually the purpose, as we understand it, of the Rebbe getting this general studies education that he got, was to utilize those aspects in the service of Hashem to bring people closer to Yiddishkeit and to Hashem.